Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
So great to be back, and so great to be able to have the opportunity to share God's Word with you. Hopefully you're ready for that, and if so, would you please stand and open up to Exodus chapter 20 in the Old Testament, and just so you know, in a few minutes, we're going to get to Colossians chapter 3, where most of the message will be coming out of. But I do want to start in Exodus chapter 20 to make a point before we get to Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to read just the first two verses there, Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And Lord, we once again come to you in prayer, this time asking that your anointing will be in this place for your word to be proclaimed and received. In the name of Jesus, amen. You can be seated. Every one of you has heard of the Ten Commandments, right? You've heard of the Ten Commandments. Maybe you could even list five of them, or maybe even 11 of them, just joking, maybe all 10 of them. And I want to bring up something, though, I think is very important for us to understand before we get to Colossians 3, and that is this, that God, before ever giving the Ten Commandments to the Israelites and to us, before telling them, here's what you need to do, before doing any of that, he first, as we just read in this text, declared who he was. He is the Lord, their God, and he declared what he had already done for them. So you have to understand that before telling them that they need to honor their father and mother, before telling them do not commit adultery, before telling them any of that, these are the things that you need to do, God told them what he had already done. That is very, very important as we look through Scripture because we see that pattern. Before God calls you to do anything, he tells you what he's already done for you. And this is really liberating because a lot of people get this mixed up, and there are times when I would say most of us struggle with this. We slip into this thing where we think we need to do things for God first. We need to impress God, and then he'll notice us. We need to perform, and then God will do something for us. That's called legalism or moralism, and how many know that is exhausting? But what we see in Scripture, even back before the Ten Commandments were given, is God saying, look, here's who I am, here's what I've done. And God was basically telling them, look, Israelites, I want you to know, before I tell you what to do, I love you, I have delivered you, I have made freedom possible, now walk in freedom. Not come up with it on your own, figure it out, hopefully you make me smile. No. Here's what I have done, this massive exodus from slavery. Now, live and walk in that freedom. And what we read in the letter to the Colossians in the New Testament follows that same biblical scriptural pattern. Why? Because the Holy Spirit who directed all of Scripture. We read that God did so much for us. We find that in Colossians chapter 1 and 2. And if you've been a part of the church for a while, you know, back in January, we were in a series called This Changes Everything, and we focused on Colossians 1 and 2, focused on who Jesus is, focused on what Jesus has accomplished for us. Now we're getting to Colossians 3 and Colossians 4, and we're stepping into a new series called Elevate. And what Paul, and you're going to see this, and you've already seen it, and you will see it in the letter to the Colossians. What Paul had to make sure the Colossian readers and us would get is that before we are expected to do anything for Christ, we're told what Christ has already done for us. And everything that we have comes from Christ. Everything that we are enabled to do comes from Christ. Now, then, here is the natural response, and that's what we're going to be looking at over the next couple weeks, few weeks actually, in chapters 3 and 4, the natural response to what God has already done. A thankful response, a grateful response, and what you're going to see is some of these things are just obvious. Not that we're doing all of them, but when you think about it, you're like, well, because of what Christ has done, because of what he's made possible, yeah, it makes sense that I would then respond in this way. And so we're going to go into Colossians chapter 3 as we begin this series called Elevate. And we're going to actually cross over a bridge today, scripturally speaking. I'll get to that in a moment. About a week and a half ago, we went up to the UP for the very first time. How many of you have been to the UP? Some of you are like, yeah, I planted the trees. I did it. I've been there. I know some of you camp out in the wild. We did not do that. But we did go up to Pictured Rocks area, and we did some hiking. Oh, my goodness. It was so fun. It's so beautiful up there. My goodness. We made it to Lake Superior on one of the trails, and we looked to our right and our left. Nobody. I'm like, come on. That's how you do a beach, right? So beautiful. The water was so warm. Well, okay. Maybe it wasn't warm, but beautiful. This was the first time that our family had ever gone on the Mackinac Bridge. And I know we've lived here a long time. What was our deal? I don't know. But we went across this bridge, and oh, so breathtaking, really. And we were talking about, you know, if we fell off, could we make it to their side swimming? And basically, I'm like a no, because I can't swim that well. But I noticed as we're going across this bridge that the guardrails are not that high. Have you ever noticed that? You're driving along, you're like, oh, I'm sure this is really safe. Maybe I'll get over here in this lane right here. I mean, what is the deal? The roads up there are just perfect, right? It's not like the Lower Peninsula. The roads are actually great. They just cut costs on the guardrails. I'm like, give me a pothole, but I'd like a guardrail that's a little bit like at least eye level. I'm good with that. But we went across that thing, and we had such a great time. The bridge gets you from the Lower Peninsula to the Upper Peninsula. It gets you from here to there. And that's what I think Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 is. It's a bridge. It's a bridge from the theological, as we were in Colossians 1 and 2, to the practical. And Colossians 1, 3, 1 through 4 actually is a combination of both. It's a bridge taking you, here's what Christ has done, and now here's what you can do. Here's what you need to do. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul begins by saying, if then you have been raised with Christ. He's pointing back to what he's been teaching in chapters 1 and 2, what we've been hearing about. And that is that we have been elevated to life. I'm talking to those right now who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. You have received his salvation into your life. And I want you to know today, according to the Word of God, that you have been elevated to life. Elevated to life. We see these words in our scriptures, from being lost to being found, from being blind to being able to see, from being dead to being alive. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses, God made alive together with him. There is this transformation. There is this being born again, going from death to life. And what God does is he elevates us, once we receive him, elevates us in our identity from being an enemy of God to being a friend of God. That's a difference. Our status is elevated from being separated from God to being at peace with God. And what happens is we are literally elevated into relationship with God, where we have peace with God. We can look back at our past life. We can look back at what it used to be like. No, it is different now. New life, new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. We have a new heart. We have a new mission. We have new power. We're elevated to life. Paul goes on to share that we are elevated to safety. Look at this in verse 3. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hidden with Christ in God. Raised with Christ and now hidden with Christ. Now, each of us have certain documents, certain things that we try to keep safe. Maybe you have a safe at the house, right? That you've put in a title or a deed or an extra set of car keys or the kids or just things that are really, really important. Put it in the safe. And I've never been to someone's house who has the safe just on the counter or maybe on the front porch just sitting there. No. The safe is not only safe, it's locked. it is then hidden somewhere. It's concealed. And that's what this word means. Something that is concealed, something that is safe, something that is hidden. And to think about what we do for different things that are important to us, and then to realize the reality of what God does that is exponentially greater, and that is He takes us and puts us into His safe. We are hidden with Christ in God, safe in Him. Now, I'm not saying that means you will never get sick, you'll never skin your knee, you will never face death. I'm not saying that. Talking about in the context here in Colossians is your salvation. Taking you in your relationship with Him and hiding you for eternity. The more secure I realize my salvation is in Christ, the result is the more I want to serve Him. Are you like that? The more, it's not like, oh, then I can go out and do this or that. Like, that doesn't sound like someone who's saved. I'm talking about someone who is saved. The more secure you discover you are in Christ, the more you want to serve Him, the more you want to live for Him, the more you want to worship Him. And that's what God does, is He takes you and not only elevates you to life, He elevates you to safety, and then thirdly, elevates you to heaven. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. What a promise. What a future. Elevated to life. Elevated to safety, the safe place, and elevated to that promise of eternity. There's so much fear that's going around. So much fear that's going around. So much anxiety. And I get that. Okay, but let me talk to believers for a moment. Are we to operate with that same level of fear we see in society? No. Are we to operate with that same level of anxiety and worry? I mean, as a believer, someone might say, well, what's the worst thing that could happen to you? And maybe the first thing that comes to mind is death. That would be the worst thing that could happen to you. But as a believer, is that the worst thing that can happen to you? This is something that D.L. Moody said, who was a great preacher in the 1800s. He basically wrote his own epitaph, and he said that someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I'll be more alive than I am now. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we shall appear with Him in glory. You see, God knows the date that each of us will pass on if the Lord tarries longer than that, right? God already knows. All of our days are ordained before one of them came to be. It's a date that is set, and it's a date that is a promotion day, a graduation ceremony. It is graduating to that life that God has planned and that God has orchestrated. It's a date that will not get canceled. There's an executive order that's no executive order that's going to cancel that date. We can walk with peace. We can walk with a surety and a confidence, full assurance that if we've placed our faith in Jesus, we've been elevated to life, we've been elevated to safety, and we have been elevated to heaven. Now, that's what Colossians chapter 3 says. If then, or since then, since you've experienced this, now. Well, now what? Well, now he's getting to some commands, to some instructions based on what God has already accomplished. He's elevated us. Then he goes on to say, okay, now, since you've been elevated in Christ, set your minds and set your hearts. Look at this, verse 1. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Verse 2, set your minds on things above. He's saying you've been elevated, now set your minds. In other words, think like you're elevated. Do your thoughts match up to your status? Do your thoughts match up to your identity in Christ? How many thoughts do you think you have every single day? A lot, right? Our minds can race. going from this to that, whatever else. Research indicates that the average person actually thinks around 50,000 thoughts a day. That's a lot. That's a lot of thoughts. And that is good news or it's bad news, depending on what your thoughts are. Neuroscientists indicate that every thought that we have sends a chemical and a neurological signal to the brain, which then affects every cell in the body. Meaning that our thoughts and how we think and what we dwell on and what we think about affect our digestion. They can affect our pulse. They can affect our moods. They affect our attitudes. They affect how we treat other people. They affect how we even treat ourselves. The importance of our thoughts cannot be overstated. And what I find fascinating in this passage in Colossians 3 is that Paul doesn't say God's going to come in and help all of your thoughts. He's going to come in and make all your thoughts pure and holy and good and righteous and faith-filled. No, he said this is what God has done. He's elevated you. Now you set your mind on things above. You seek the things that are above. Now, that at times can be easier said than done. I get it, okay? And we do ask God, I ask God for his help every single day. I'm sure you do too, for his grace. And God wants to help you do this, but the command is clear. You do this with God's grace. And so I want to get really, really practical at the end of this message and just share a few things that hopefully can help you today, tomorrow, and the next day as you seek to elevate your thoughts to match up with your identity in Christ. It's possible, as you look back to this last week, that you've had some thoughts that lack peace. Maybe some thoughts that lacked faith. Maybe some thoughts that lacked purity, lacked mission. How do we elevate? First one is this. Take responsibility for what is allowed in. And I have these words, take responsibility, on purpose, because this is how I read Colossians 3. Paul's saying, you do this. God's going to help you, but you do this. We have to take responsibility. Nobody else will clean up your mind. Nobody else is going to put faithful thoughts in your head. All right? Take responsibility, first of all, for what is allowed in. Now, I have never met anybody who at night, when they get ready for bed, it's like, oh, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. All right, let's turn out the lights and open up all the doors, prop the screen doors open, open up the windows, throw out the screens. Nobody opens up their entire house while they go to sleep, so that animals can come in, so the hungry neighbors can come in, those pesky thieves, right? So that anybody and everybody could come in, maybe even do a bait pile right at the front door just to invite things and people to come in. Nobody does that. We secure our homes. Some people even have the video surveillance and alarms and lights that go on and all that stuff. We lock it up. We secure it so that we can sleep peacefully. But even though we spend all that money and all that time making sure every door is locked and window and all that stuff is latched, everything, there are many people who leave their mind completely unsecured. Their mind is wide open. They watch whatever. They'll see whatever. They'll hear whatever. There's no filter. There's no security. And truly, the onus is on each of us to secure our mind. So take responsibility for what is allowed in. Just like if I eat a meal from certain restaurants, even though it tastes great, I know that a few hours later, I'm going to feel it. All right? I'm going to feel it. What you hear and what you see will affect how you think. It just does. It just does. And so we have to take responsibility, first of all, for what is allowed in. Nobody else is going to do it for you. Nobody else is going to do it for you. Take responsibility for what is allowed in. Secondly, take responsibility for what needs to be pushed out. What are the things that are in your mind that need to be pushed out? Elsewhere, Paul the Apostle wrote this, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. In other words, if there is a thought that doesn't line up with Scripture, that doesn't help you propel forward as a follower of Jesus, if there is a thought that doesn't line up with the truth of God, then push it out. Push it out. Now, there are many of us, probably all of us, who have certain thought patterns. There are things that we've done over and over and over again. There are certain triggers, and we go down a road and we end up in fear. We go down a road and we end up maybe in greed. We end up in selfishness. We end up in lust, or we end up with worry. It's a thought pattern that we've taken so many times, the path is so well worn that you don't even have to try. Let me tell you this, it takes zero effort to be negative. It takes zero effort to be pessimistic. It takes zero effort to worry. It takes zero effort to lust. It takes zero effort to get off track. And there are thought patterns that we are all vulnerable to that we have to become aware of in our own lives so that we can take responsibility to push out that thought pattern and not go there. Now, I want to share an illustration, super gross, uncultured, unsophisticated for a Sunday morning, but I think it'll make a point, and that is this. We have a dog that lives at our house, and some of us say, Pastor Heath, are you a dog lover? And I'm not really a dog lover, but I actually really like dogs, and one of the reasons I don't love them is because it says in Scripture, a dog returns to his vomit, and I find that to be gross. I don't roll like that personally, and so I just find it to be like, that is just weird, like, down through the ages, have they not been able to figure that one out? You know what I'm saying? Like, one of the dogs just like, rough, rough, this is bad, and then change it. Anyway, we have this dog. It's my daughter's dog. She takes really good care of it, and it got, sometimes dogs get sick. So back in the winter, our dog must have eaten something or whatever and got sick. So it goes outside. Thankfully, it went outside when it did its thing and vomited into the snow. Destroyed the beautiful scenery in the backyard. Vomits in the snow. And try as we might, the dog just tried to keep going back for a warm meal. And so finally, Lacey gets some snow shovel and puts it over, trying to cool off the meal and just cover it up so we're back to the beautiful scenery. Like a day later, we're finding that is the only thing on this little, little dog's little, little brain's mind. Is getting to his vomit. And so I went out the next day to let him in. He had been outside, and this is no lie, I could not see the dog's head. The dog was like, it's like he skydived. Right there. His head was all the way in there. Like, his legs are out here. His head was gone trying to get to that vomit. And that's what Scripture says. Like a dog returns to his vomit. You see, it's instinct for a dog. Couldn't talk him out of it. Like a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. See, it is instinct for a dog to return to something that is gross and is not good. As a believer, it is a choice. And there are certain thought patterns and there are certain things that tempt us to go down that path, and it's so easy. It's so easy. But as a believer, we have a choice. We have been elevated to life. May our thoughts match our identity. Take responsibility for what needs to be pushed out. You can do that even today, tomorrow, and the next day when those thoughts come. I'm going to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. If it doesn't line up with Christ, it's out. The third one is this. Think heaven thoughts. Intentionally. They don't necessarily naturally come as you go through your day. Intentionally think heaven thoughts. And you might think, Pastor Keith, I haven't been to heaven. I haven't been to heaven. Like, how can I think heaven thoughts? Well, from the Word of God, we hear what happens in heaven. We read what happens in heaven. And we're even given descriptions of the character of God who is in heaven. And that's what verse 1 of our passage says. If you've been raised with Christ, if you've been elevated in Him, seek those things which are above where Christ is. Now, where is Jesus? He's in heaven. Hebrews 10 says, after providing, Hebrews 1, oh my goodness, I'm sorry about that. Hebrews 1, after, I promise it's Hebrews 1, all right, I'm stopping there. After providing purification for sin, Jesus went to sit at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He finished the work, goes to heaven, he's seated, he's not worried, he's not worried, just seated, he's seated. That's where Jesus is. And what Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says is that we are to think thoughts, the thoughts that are focused on where Jesus is, elevated to heaven. Think heaven thoughts. Now, Philippians chapter 4, Paul the Apostle gives a list of some heaven thoughts. Finally, brothers, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are true, if there be any excellence, if there be anything praiseworthy, think on these things. In other words, meditate on these things. Integrity, love, generosity, it's the character of God. All of those things in Philippians 4:8 reflect the character of God and are the character of God. And those are the things that we need to intentionally think about. Just practically speaking, I find that memorizing a scripture in the morning and then dwelling on that throughout the day is a huge help. Just memorize one scripture, one verse, one phrase from God's word and focus on that. Bring that up in your mind, even declare it out loud throughout the day. This might sound strange, but I'm telling you, it's the character of God, and that is, think about a way to give something away. Think about something that you could give to someone that you could bless someone. It gets your thoughts on heavenly thoughts because God is generous. For God so loved that he gave. Think about the ways in which you can encourage someone. Gets your thoughts centered on heaven. Think pure thoughts. Think thoughts that you know would honor God. Think about God. Thoughts centered on heaven. Take a break at times from other sources that are feeding into your ears and into your eyes. Take a break from them. I took a 2-week break and didn't look at social media the entire time. What I found when I checked back, the world still went on. My mind was refreshed. I went a week and a half recently without checking the news one time. Without watching the news, without reading the paper, without checking online for news stories. A week and a half. Keith, did you survive? I survived. The world did too. The world went on. I didn't really miss that much. My mind was refreshed. You see what I'm saying? There are things that we can do to help get our minds elevated, thinking the thoughts that match our identity in Christ. And then another one in thinking heaven thoughts is being missional. Thinking thoughts, praying for those who don't know Jesus. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. When you think missional thoughts, Lord, how can I make a difference? Lord, you're thinking like heaven. Intentionally think heaven thoughts. The last one I want to share is this. Start and finish with the gospel. Start and finish with the gospel. You'll be like, well, Pastor Keith, what are you talking about there? I find this to be powerful in my own life. Start your day by preaching the gospel to yourself. Amen. I'm not talking about a 30-minute message with illustrations and all that. I'm just saying, share the good news to yourself. Thank God for what he's done. Jesus, you are the king. You've come to this earth. I didn't deserve it, but you have brought your kingdom down to this place. Lord, you died on the cross for my sins. You were the perfect sacrifice for my sins. You rose again on the third day. I've received you into my life. Now, as I stand before you, I'm wholly blameless and without accusation. Come on, get up in the morning and start thinking those thoughts. Start praying those things. Start with the gospel. Knowing that, God, as I go through this day, I know that there's nothing that I could do that could separate me from your love. I'm secure in you. Start the day with the gospel. Finish the day with the gospel. Instead of thinking about all the things that are wrong in the world, all the things you can't control, how bad things are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or the movie that you just got done watching. Finish your day with the gospel. I dare you to try that over the next few days. Finish your day preaching the gospel to yourself once again. Lord, I am forgiven in you. Lord, it's been my desire to serve you. Lord, I know that I'm at peace with you through my relationship with Jesus. Lord, I know that I can lie down now and sleep in peace for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You have forgiven me. You have set me free. I am yours. Start and finish your day with the gospel.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.